The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf club, at the racebooks and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. Alrighty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this almost Friday, Thursday, Race Day Las Vegas radio program. We come to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here at our studio station, the South Point Studio Station on the South Point Studios streaming network at YouTube from the South Point Hotel Casino Complex on Las Vegas Boulevard. Big Boulevard here in Las Vegas, that's for sure. We welcome you to the show. And we welcome everybody else out there that gets us through the many different platforms that we have. And you know what they are. Our radio station here in town, in case you're zipping around in your car early in the morning. That is, of course, our anchor station, Sports Talk 1400 AM in Las Vegas. And, of course, 107.1 FM as well. And then, of course, all of our websites. We got racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global. We got them all. They stream our show as well. And, of course, on your apps for your iPhones and your Androids. If you get the KSHP app on there, you can listen to us. If you get the YouTube app on there, you can go to YouTube and do the same thing you do with your computers, and that is go to YouTube, type in South Point Studios Network, South Point Studios there, and you'll get our network streaming, and you can see us and listen to us that way as well on your devices. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting, we're there as well. Simply put, however, wherever, wherever, whenever. Welcome to the Race Day Show for this almost Friday, Thursday. We are now 16 days away from the Run for the Roses, the Kentucky Derby. And, of course, before that, on Thursday, May 2nd, we'll have the special Oaks Derby race day show right here, the special show covering Oaks Day racing in the Oaks and a preview for the Kentucky Derby on Thursday, the 2nd of May at 3 o'clock right here where you're watching now on YouTube. Will only be on YouTube for this special show. We will not be on any of the other platforms streaming. Okay, remember that. Only on YouTube. It'll be 3 o'clock Pacific time on Thursday, May 2nd. And, of course, Friday, May 3rd, we'll have the Kentucky Derby Seminar in the Grandview Lounge here in the South Point right next to the racebook. It'll happen at 6 p.m. in the evening right after the race is concluded on the Kentucky Oaks Day Kart and Southern California Racing. Jonathan Hardoon, John Lendo, and myself will be in that seminar, and that'll happen in the Grandview Lounge at 6 p.m. on Friday, the 3rd of May. And then when all that work is done, we get upstairs on Kentucky Derby and party and play the races the way they do it here at the South Point in the big grand ballroom with the big TV sets, a lot of little sets for the other races going on as well, big banquet tables, food and drink discounts, and plenty of betting windows, and a hat contest in several different categories. So bring your best Kentucky Derby hat as well. It's all free, all of that free right here at the South Point. Come and join us. We'd love to have you and party in the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby. Well, as far as the Kentucky Derby is concerned, not too much of any breaking news happening so far, except for the fact that the horse Common Defense, this one needs a defection or two. Now, Common Defense is sitting at 22. This is trained by Kenny McPeak, and Christian Torres was the rider there in his last start, so I would assume that he would get the mount if the horse gets in. He needs two defections, and for the most part, one is almost certain, but he just needs one more defection to get within the Kentucky Derby field. That very well may happen. You know how it goes when it gets closer to the Kentucky Derby. We still have 16 days, over a little bit over 2 weeks to go until the Derby. But word out of Churchill Downs is the Derby horses that are there are working fine and doing fine there. And the other ones are making arrangements to get to Louisville, Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby, that's for sure. This weekend coming up on Saturday, big race, the $1,250,000 Oaklawn Handicap for the older handicap horses will run. And we'll take a look at that field a little bit later on with Jonathan Hardoon. And there are three races coming up this weekend that have somewhat Preakness race ramifications, really. The Federico Tessio, which is at Laurel Park, and of course, you know, that's Maryland racing. Of course, the Preakness, the middle jewel of the Triple Crown, will be run at Pimlico Racecourse. By the time they get closer to the Preakness, they'll be moving the races from Laurel to Pimlico. But Pimlico will host the Federico Tessio this weekend, and Laurel has five races, the Federico Tessio, one of them, and that is a Preakness win and you're in race. You win that, you get into the Preakness. Now, there are two other races this weekend where if the winner decides to go to the Preakness, that the racetracks that are hosting them will pay the freight to do that, and that is the Illinois Derby and the Bathhouse Row Stakes at Oaklawn Park. So Oaklawn has three big stakes races. Laurel has five of them that include the Federico Tessio. Keeneland will have a couple of stakes races, a grade two and a grade three. Santa Anita kicks in tomorrow with the Hollywood meet. And on Saturday, Santa Anita will have two grade three races. Aqueduct will kick in with a stakes race. And as far as the weekend complete on Sunday, Santa Anita will come back with a couple of more stakes races. And Hawthorne, of course, will have the Illinois Derby. That'll happen on Sunday at Hawthorn. The other two races, the Bathhouse Row and the Federico Tessio with the Preakness implications, will be run on Saturday. Today is kind of a horse player holiday, really. Anytime there's a big carryover and a shot to get it, we call it a horse player holiday. Today kind of classifies as that because Gulfstream Park has a carryover in their late pick five today. The late pick five, last five races at Gulfstream, the carryover, $121,000 plus. And remember, it's a 50-cent base bet. I'm going to kind of try to squeeze out a play or two from Jonathan Hardoon at Gulfstream for us a little bit later on, and we'll wait and see about that. Other news of interest, and I can tell you this, this is news of interest as far as race players are concerned, as far as racing is concerned, really. You know how prominent and how effective and how dangerous trainer Charlie Appleby has been with bringing horses in from Europe into America for the big races and the big racing cards. Just you don't have to look any further back than last week with Master of the Seas. In any case, Charlie Appleby has decided that he's already run five horses at Keeneland. He's going to set up an American stable here. He's going to have about a dozen horses here in America. So Charles Appleby now getting some stable area, some stables here in America with his horses there. So that's going to be good news, no doubt about that. And you're going to love this. I'm going to go over this with Jonathan and certainly with John Lendo. But as you know, Santa Anita will open the Hollywood meet tomorrow. They have petitioned the California Horse Racing Board to institute a new bet for the players. This new bet is as follows. It's called the 3x3. You must pick the top three finishers in the three designated races of the 3x3 bet. They may not be in a row, but it's going to be three races they designate. It's like you know, the All Turf Pick Three or whatever. They're going to designate three races. In those three races, to accomplish a win, you must have the first, second, and third place finishers in all three races. And you must place that bet before the first of the three races starts. So it's like betting combination bets at the beginning of the wager. Simply put, is you got to pick three trifectas in those three races. in exact order. The three fight trifectas must happen. That's called the 3x3. They petitioned the California Horse Racing Board. I think it was back in November, as a matter of fact. Wait and see if they get the approval for that new 3x3 bet at Santa Anita. When you first think about it, you could say, man, that's kind of like almost an impossible thing. But we all know about the short fields that have been prominent in Southern California for quite a while. Now, if they allow that 3x3 bet in a race with five entrants or so, then it becomes an attractive situation because it won't be so difficult to pare down the logical three in each of those three races. And I think that that might have been the premise of their thought about this bet. Now that the fields are much shorter, if we can offer something that is not so difficult to hit, maybe the players will play it. We'll wait and see. I think it's kind of interesting, but we'll wait and see on that. All right, on today's show, we got Jonathan Hardoon standing by. We got, of course, Rich Eng coming by, John Lendo as well, and Jerry Jackowitz with Racing at Aqueduct and Keeneland. All the handicappers will give us their horses. Yesterday, well, our handicappers are starting to come out of the deep freeze. John Lendo's selection in the eighth and final race at Keeneland got home a winner. Indy Magic won and paid $9.98 for the victory there. Rich Eng's horse was scratched in that race, so I didn't have the Sirocco play trifecta. Rich Eng's horse was scratched in that race, but John Lendo's horse won the last race, paying $9.98. And again, we remind you that with John Lendo's Lendo Report, when he does them at the racetracks he chooses, for today it'll be another Keeneland Lendo Report that'll be here at the South Point free of charge, exclusively here, only here at the South Point. For the race players, because they love you. John Lendo suggests a late pick four in the last four races on the Lendo Report sheet on whatever racetrack he's covering. Well, yesterday he suggested a late pick four on his sheet, the Lendo Report yesterday, and it was pared down to just a $12 bet because of some of the horses that he had selected were scratches. So it was a $12 bet in the suggested late pick four on Lendo's sheet yesterday, and that hit and paid $93.28. So keep that in mind with that Lendo Report as well. All right, enough said. Now we're going to go to our first break. Jonathan Hardoon, John Lendo, Rich Eng, and of course, Jerry J. We're going to get Jerry J's final thoughts about his handicapping philosophies that he ran out of time with yesterday, plus a selection or two from Aqueduct, and of course, your racing menus next. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Okay, back on race day for this almost Friday, Thursday. Looks the weather is going to be great here in Las Vegas in case you're planning on jumping on a plane or maybe jumping in the car and coming on out and enjoy the weekend here in Las Vegas with all we have to offer. First of all, today it's 66 degrees already outside. We're going to get up to 88 degrees today, and we're going to be pushing into the low 90s by the time the weekend is over. It's going to be sunny and nice, really nice weather here. As far as around the country, not bad. Miami's 82. New York is 49, and it's raining there, okay? There's a little pocket of rain and et cetera that's going across the New York area on its way out and east over the ocean. But right now, it's raining, and my understanding from Jonathan said it's been raining all night there at Aqueduct. So we'll wait and see about the racing conditions there. But you have other parts of the country like San Antonio is going to be 91 today, L.A. 76. And, of course, Phoenix, Arizona, 93. And even up there, way up at the in the north, Minneapolis will be 52 degrees. So we're starting to get into that springtime weather, that's for sure. After all, It's really springtime when you're talking about the Kentucky Derby, only 16 days away. All righty, so let's get started with the racing menu on today. And as I said, there's a front going through New York right now. It's going to make that kind of messy. And the only other really cloud cover we have with a little rain is coming over the state of Iowa, a little bit in Wisconsin and Minnesota. But as far as everything else, pretty well clear across the boards. So here's the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook Simulcast Center's racetracks around the country. First post times are Pacific, remember that. So if you're listening in a Pacific time zone, not a problem. These will be your first post times. If you're listening anywhere else in any other time zone, adjust to it from the Pacific time zone, or you'll miss something, maybe a bet that you want to make, and we don't want you to miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? Here's the menu. First post times are Pacific. We begin with Keeneland Racecourse. Keeneland Racecourse has 9 races today. Good competitive card, too. First post time at Keeneland today for their 9 race card is set at 10 a.m. 10 a.m. first post at Keeneland today. Gulfstream Park, remember. Now, they do have a pick 6 jackpot, the Rainbow Jackpot carryover. That's $158,963. But the late pick 5 carryover with a 50-cent base bet, the late pick 5 carryover, not a jackpot, it's a regular late pick 5. That has $121,788 sitting in the pot. It's a carryover. $121,788 in the pick 5, late pick 5 carryover today at Gulfstream. First post time is 10:10 at Gulfstream today. Aqueduct, the big A in New York. Well, I can tell you that their website tells us it's cloudy, 47 degrees, and the track is labeled good. But Jonathan Hardoon is right there, and he's telling me it's raining there at Aqueduct right now. Anyhow, maybe they think it's going to be cloudy and 47 by the time post time comes around. First post at Aqueduct for their 8 races today is set at 10:20 this morning. 10:20 at Aqueduct today. Turf Paradise, Phoenix, Arizona. They've got 9 races today at Turf Paradise. 2 quarter horse races will open up the card, and then 7 thoroughbred races. That consists of the 9 races. First post time is 1:25 at Turf Paradise. Turf Paradise still has the highest carryover in the pick 6 jackpot in the nation. It stands today at $443,795. $443,795 in the pick 6 jackpot. And just like any other jackpot, you take it down if you're the only winner in the pick 6. First post time, 1:25 at Turf Paradise today. Evangeline Downs has 8 races, full fields all, and first post time is 3:30 at Evangeline Downs. Charlestown races. Charlestown has a pick 6 jackpot carryover, $27,823. 8 races today at Charlestown and a first post time of 4 p.m. And that is your brief racing menu for today on your Almost Friday Thursday. All right, let's bring in Jonathan Hardoon right now. I'm sure Jonathan has a thought or two about some of the information we've already laid out on you. Jonathan, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Charles Appleby will be shipping a string up to Saratoga, which will arrive the first week of May, and he's going to spend the May through the fall, I guess, till Saratoga closes at the end of the meet, you know, their summer meet. They usually leave horses here for another month or two, and he'll be staying that whole time. So Appleby will have 12 to 15 horses stabled at Saratoga.
All right. It looks as though the feed that we're getting from you, it looks like you got a little bit of a strobe light going on in there. But that, nevertheless, we're doing fine. Don't touch anything, because we know that if you touch something, but a bing, you know. So in any case, it's nice to see Charles. Well, gosh, why not? I mean, the guy's had such success every time he comes over. He just slams the American horses, especially in the turf races. I mean, why not have some of the Europeans come over here and take some good old USA cash out, right?
Yeah, and he should send a string to California as well, because, you know, he'll never have to worry about races coming off the grass there, not during this time of year. So, you know, he's got enough horses. Why not spread it out?
Well, now, Jonathan, of course, he's got to deal with, Phil D'Amato, who is the king of turf racing right now over there in Southern California. But you talk about turf racing. Now, today is the 18th of April, and in 2 days is the day demarked for the opening of the turf course at Aqueduct. Yet, it's raining. It's been raining all night there.
Well, it rained all night, and it's still raining some this morning. It's on and off showers. It's hit and miss, but there will be more rain today. But again, first racing scheduled for Saturday, and that's great news because that will certainly increase inventory. It'll increase field size, and we'll get more races. So that's really – we love turf racing, and especially here.
Now, I do believe Aqueduct has two turf courses, right?
Correct. They have two turf courses. They got rid of the winter track, and they made their main track full-time winterized, and they added a turf course when they did away with the inner track. So they have two turf courses and one dirt track.
Okay. And, of course, we all know Saratoga's got three of them. One of them used mostly for steeplechase racing, right?
Two turf courses and a main track.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I thought they had three. But nevertheless, they have three tracks. It's just two of them are only turf and the other.
Correct. By the way, Ralph, back to that trifecta, three races in a row.
Yeah. Go ahead. Tell me about it.
Is that a jackpot? Are they going to pay it every day? Are they going to carry it? That's not going to be hit so easily. Even if they have six horse fields, try to put nine horses in a row together where they're going to finish, because that's what you have to do.
That is absolutely correct. And to answer that question and the other question that I know arises, what is the bet amount going to be? I do not know either.
Is it a dollar bet? Is it a 50 cent bet?
Right. I do not know that either. I know that all I know is they petitioned the California Horse Racing Board to do it. I'm sure that maybe John Lindo has the answer to those two questions a little bit later on. But I think now, of course, the old rule is you have to have, six horses in the race to have a trifecta offered?
Five horses?
Horses to offer a trifecta. And I would think that with the short fields in there, maybe this was the kind of bet that they devised because it all of a sudden doesn't become so hard, especially if you got like a 4-5 shot in one of those races, or Bob Baffert's got,
fine, but you still have to hit three tries in a row.
I know.
It's on one ticket. So you're technically picking nine horses to finish nine in a row. Nine, and you have to pick there where they're going to finish nine in a row. Good luck.
You're blurring out. I don't know what's going on with your camera there, but if you can try to move it, there you go. Okay. You're fine now. Don't move any. Don't even. Don't even breathe, okay? Yeah, that's right. In any case, well, such is technology. In any case, you have to pick the three winners. You have to pick the three horses that are going to run second. You have to pick the three horses that ran third. But let's say you have two races that you really know you're going to concentrate on the winner, and then you got maybe two horses apiece that you think will finish second and third. So it's going to be like one.
You have to do it three different times.
I know.
And it's all on one bet. You're not boxing. You're not getting to make three boxes.
Well, you can. You can box.
Then you're going to make multiple tickets. Good luck.
Exactly.
You'll spend 17 hours making those.
No. You can box three horses or four horses in each of the races, but of course the multiples go up. But you can do that. That's fine, because on that ticket, somewhere on those tickets, there'll be the exact order finish 1, 2, 3. It's just like,
well, that's where you're going to have to play it. You're going to have to make the boxes. You're not picking nine straight and how they're going to finish.
Yeah.
That's just not happening.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure. Anyhow, let's get started with taking maybe a look at the Oaklawn Handicap. It's Oaklawn Park has had three races now at $1,250,000 and one at $1,500,000. That was the Arkansas Derby. But taking a look at the Oaklawn Handicap field coming up on Saturday for $1,250,000. Mile and 1/8. These are the 4-year-olds and up. This is the division that goes for the Breeders' Cup Classic. From the rail out, you have Highland Falls, Garreau for Brad Cox. Your guy got a horse in that race, drew the rail. Number two is Double Crown, Colby Hernandez for Raymond Ginter Jr. The three is Magic Tap, a Tappet offspring, Keith Asmussen for his father, Steve. Then you have Octane, the four horse, Julien Le Perreux for Juan Alvarado. The five is Red Route One, Joel Rosario for Steve Asmussen, so he has at least two in the race. And then you have Bob Baffert sending out a horse, and you know how proficient Baffert is at Oaklawn Park. He's sending out Reincarnate, and again, Juan Hernandez going out for that. They've already annexed the Arkansas Derby and the Apple Blossom, so that team gets together again. They're number six. The seven is Guntown, Ramon Vasquez for Mike Maker. The eight is Last Samurai, Richard Iramia for Eddie Milligan Jr. The nine is Country Final, Edwin Gonzalez for Safi Joseph Jr. The 10 is Skippy Longstocking, Jose Ortiz riding for Safi Joseph. And of course, the 11 is Instant Coffee, Christian Torres riding for Jose D'Angelo. And it looks like a competitive field. And certainly right now in the handicap division, there's no really big outstanding horses. Horse that you have to.
There are no standouts. There are no flight lines or anything like that, that we have to worry about. It's a wide open race. Cox draws the rail with Highland Falls. He certainly is on the improve. Last time out didn't run well when coming off of Lasix, but he shipped to Santa Anita that day. Octane is on the improve, getting better with each start. Skippy Longstockings never runs a bad one. Mm-hmm. And then the horse that I'm connected with, Instant Coffee, he's got a tough outside post, but he's training very well and seems to like the track.
All right. And we'll get a pick from you on that on Saturday when they run that race. But for today, we need to get some selection. So what are we doing?
Okay, let's go to Aqueduct first. And we're going to look at the fifth race today, and I like the number two horse in here, Whistler's Style. This is a six-year-old mare, was claimed last time out by trainer Orlando Noda. This horse loves moisture in the racetrack, can handle the distance. This horse will be on or near the lead, 7-2 on the morning line. I like number two, Whistler's Style, to win today's fifth race out at Aqueduct.
And no matter what the track condition, right?
No, if it rains, it's fine. You could bet more if it rains. The horse certainly likes moisture and makes no difference.
Okay, fifth race, which is the anchor in the early pick five and early pick four. In the fifth race, you like the two, Whistler Style. We hope it gets to whistle home a winner. In the fifth race, the two, Whistler Style. All right, now where next?
We're going to Gulfstream and look at race seven. That's part of that pick five carryover.
Aha!
I love the number two horse in here, Split Strike. This is a three-year-old from the Christopher Clement barn. As a two-year-old, this horse ran faster than these horses run now at the age of three. He gets Lasix for the first time. He's been gelded since his last race. A rider switch to Paco Lopez, 5-1 on the morning line. Number two, Split Strike, wins today's seventh race out at Gulfstream Park.
All right, seventh race at Gulfstream, and number two, Split Strike, the two in the seventh race at Gulfstream. Remember, the pick five with that carryover of 121,000 plus, 50-cent base bet, not a jackpot, so it's a pick five, regular pick five, starts in the fourth race today at Gulfstream, and Jonathan comes with the seventh race, number two, Split Strike, amongst pick five there. Does there look like, is any race there that you have seen that you could sit there and say, yeah, this course can be a singleton in your sequence or not?
Yeah, Split Strike.
Okay, you got it. You're going to take Split. Nice 5-1 on the morning line, too. All right. So
I'm not giving out a horse that I don't love, right?
No, I understand that. But I'm talking about if there was like a gimme horse, for example. By the way, in that race, folks, he's giving you the horse that he believes is a singleton. In that race, there's a 6-5 shot that he's going against there. So thank you, Jonathan, for that. In the seventh race, the two, Split Strike. All right. Now you've got.
Thank me after the race, Ralph. Don't thank me before.
Okay. Well, you know, I want your best, and that's for sure. And, so you got sheets for Aqueduct, Gulfstream, yes, and Keeneland today, right?
Correct.
And that is at your website.
That's all that's running. JONHARDOON.com.
Well, all right, Jonathan. Thanks so much for all of your input and all the all of the psychedelic pictures that you gave us this morning and all that good stuff. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'll have a fix by tomorrow. Thank
worry.
You, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. Just a little entertaining with technology there, that's for sure. Hey, coming up next, Rich Eng. He's got a pick for us at Keeneland. And maybe a thought about the NBA playoffs. We'll wait and see. Anyhow, we'll be right back.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2, t.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The best of racing is always at Los Alamitos Racecourse. This weekend, the top California juveniles will be in action. It's the trials to the Grade 2 Robert Adair Kindergarten Futurity this Sunday night. Great racing action is in store with the juveniles with the 10 fastest times advancing to the kindergarten final on May 12th. Plus, night racing's best bets, like our early and late pick fours and our $10,000 pick six promo. We'll add $10,000 to the pick six pool on Sunday if there's not a carryover. Last Sunday's pick six paid over $34,000. And horse players, Los Alamitos is the perfect place to enjoy all of the national simulcast racing action. From Santa Anita and Oaklawn to Gulfstream Park and the top New York tracks. And remember to reserve a table in the beautiful Vessels Club for Kentucky Derby Day. For reservations, call 714-820-2681. We're all about the horse players. The kindergarten trials this Sunday night. The best of racing is always at Los Alamitos Racecourse.
Vegas for this Almost Friday Thursday, and we're going to go out now to Rich Eng standing by. And Richie, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie, and good morning, listeners.
Richie, of course, I know the Daily Racing Forum is going to be real busy during Kentucky Derby week, but there are no special delivery times or anything for the usual deliveries, et cetera, for the Kentucky Derby week of the Racing Forums, right? They'll all be the same?
Yeah, they'll all be the same, and I'm actually glad you made mention of it, because something that I've been working on with the folks back in New York is for the first time in many, many years, there's going to be a Kentucky Derby Advance Edition, and it has to do with the fact that the Derby is going to be drawn at least about a week out, Ralph.
Yeah.
And so I'll have more details about it, but it looks like we'll be able to produce a Advance similar to the Breeders' Cup Advance that comes out, you know, a bit before the Breeders' Cup. But I'll have more details as far as the exact day that it'll be available on the race books. But it'll have, you know, the PPs of all the 20 horses, the also eligibles, and, of course, editorial that supports all of it.
Well, that's great news to hear, not only for us racing fans who are going to, you know, get our Ouija boards and everything else, marking pens out to start handicapping. Two big races, big racing days, of course, the Kentucky Derby, the big racing day. And it also helps our production staff out for doing all the graphics that we need for the special show on that Thursday as well. So it was glad to hear in this studio, that's for sure. All right, Richie, anything about the NBA playoffs that piques your interest?
Yeah, just a few points. One was if people had the chance to watch the Golden State Warriors game against Sacramento, where Sacramento just blew them out by about 30 points. It was kind of sad in the fact that I think it showed the end of an era for the Golden State Warriors. They looked really old. They looked really slow. And, you know, it happens when you've got your stars that they've won five championships, Ralph. And when you think about it, when you win a championship in the NBA, you have to play probably, you know, between 100 and 110 games over the course of the year. And that takes a toll on the bodies of these players. So between Seth Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, it really looks like they're coming to an end. So that team's going to have to rebuild. And two injuries in play-in games that are going to occur this week. Jimmy Butler got hurt last night, hurt his right knee. He's not playing. So now the Heat are going to be an underdog at home against the Chicago Bulls. And for the New Orleans Pelicans, Zion Williamson injured a hamstring, so he's not going to play in their play-in game. So you got to keep an eye on those injuries. When you lose your stars, you're in big trouble.
Oh, no question about that. That's for sure. And thanks a lot for passing that along to our sports players out there. Well, yeah, I know you have a Keeneland sheet today. Tomorrow you have a double whammy. You'll have a handicapping sheet for opening day of the Hollywood meet at Santa Anita and the continuation of the Keeneland meet. But for today, you have a selection sheet for today at Keeneland. It is available right now at the RaceDayLasVegas.com websites. And so he had a scratch yesterday, so no harm, no foul. What about today?
Let's go to race number 8 at Keeneland, 6.5 furlongs, claiming 40, Ralph. And there's a lot of speed in this race, a lot of early speed. Horses who like to run near the lead. I'm going to go with a horse that I think can get the right trip, sitting from off the pace and rally late. That's number 4, Unraptured, picks up by Red Ortiz Jr., Bill Morey, the trainer. This horse actually has only had 3 dirt races, but has pretty good speed figures in those 3 races. So let's go for the 4, Unraptured, in race number 8 to come from behind.
All right, the 8th race today at Keeneland. You like number 4, Unraptured, the 4 in the 8th race with IRAD aboard at 9-2 on the morning line. 8th race, the 4 horse at Keeneland is Richie's play for us on the race day show. And, of course, you can get the rest of Richie's selections right now at RaceDayLasVegas.com. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Rich. And again, keep us posted as soon as you know when that advanced edition will be on the newsstands and in the race books for the race players. You let us know, okay?
Yeah, I will do, Ralph. And it should be a chance for everybody to jump in on it early in the week to handicap the Kentucky.
No question about that. Thanks a lot, my man. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, y'all. Good luck, everybody.
All right, coming up next, John Lindo. And, of course, then we're going to get Jerry Jackowitz. We're going to give Jerry enough time to complete his thoughts about his handicapping that he started yesterday but ran out of time. And, of course, we're going to hit him for a couple of horses at Aqueduct today as well. So don't go away. We'll be right back to wrap up this almost Friday, Thursday race day show from the South Point Studios here in Las Vegas, Nevada.
From the South Point Studios. Perfect blend of sports.
But I think the Niners are going to wear them down. Detroit Pistons lost their 36 games.
Comedy.
See over under on that relationship lasting. I'm going to put mayo in the coffee.
Yes. Yes. I am beautiful.
And a whole lot of Pittsburgh.
In Pittsburgh.
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 Yeah. Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh.
Join Ryan McCormick.
That's at least 2 picks outside of our own in the first round next year.
Oreo.
And host Frank Nicotero.
I look at the clock, I go, ah! Ah!
Oh! Watch Punchlines live at noon every weekday.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. We now go out to John Lendo standing by. I want to remind everybody, though, before that, that we have a couple of more great shows coming up here at the South Point Studios feed today, and that is the Sports by the Book will start at 9 a.m. this morning, and Gone Racing on the racing as far as under the hood, so to speak. That'll start at 10 a.m., and then you'll have, of course, punchlines from noon to 1. So plenty of action left on the South Point Studios streaming network here at YouTube. All right, now, John Lendo. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, and your late pick four yesterday, Keeneland, $93.28, but it was only a $12 layout, and you can only take what they're going to give you, but the suggested late pick four hit again yesterday on the Lindo Report, capped off by your winner on this show, the last race winner that paid almost $10, $9.98.
Yeah, we got all the breakage. I kind of like that.
Yeah, right down to the penny, pal. That's in Kentucky. All right, a quick thought about this new bet that they're trying to institute at Santa Anita, the 3x3. You got to hit three trifectas in a row. What say you?
I know very little about it. You know, the first I heard about it was from you, Ralph. And to be honest with you, just my first impressions, it's, you know, not every wager is made for every horse player. This is something that I probably won't get involved in. To me, it's a wager set up for somebody with a big bankroll. It's more designed to the computer-assisted wager players than I think the everyday guy. Mm-hmm. I'll wait for more details to see, what's the takeout, what's the minimum bet, how is this going to work. And I don't know what you can expect on a pool size, because it's going to take some to hit three tries in a row. It's going to take some coverage. So it's got to pay off pretty darn good if you're going to take the shot at it. So I'm on the fence. My first reaction is I'll let somebody else play it.
And remember, this is proposed. It hasn't been approved yet by the racing board. They're still working on approving it. But this has been proposed by Santa Anita. We will wait and see what happens. They proposed it for this Hollywood meet, but since there has been no release on it yet, I'm not quite sure if they're going to be kicking it off by tomorrow. That's for sure. Anyhow, they're starting racing tomorrow at Santa Anita. I understand that the card looks good, and for the weekend as well.
Yeah, in fact, there are six turf races on Saturday out of the 10. You know, The one thing with all the rain and the cancellations we had, that turf course for the second half of this long meet is in good shape. So they're planning on using it quite a bit, and we need it because, to be honest with you, the dirt field sizes have been soft all meet long. And you get better field sizes, better wagering opportunities right now in Southern California when you race on the turf.
Not even a question about that. We're happy to see that they're going to utilize what seems to be a very well-maintained turf course at this time anyhow. You have the Lindo Report for Keeneland running, of course, during the Keeneland meet, and you'll be doing double duty tomorrow, Santa Anita and Keeneland. But for today, the Keeneland Lindo Report is available right now in the Racebook here at the South Point, free of charge, exclusively here. It's the only place you can get it here at the South Point, because they love horse players here, no doubt about that. Again, you have selections in all the races. Again, you'll have a suggested late pick four and all the goody information at the bottom. And so for the weekend, you'll be doing double duty Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, both Santa Anita and Keeneland, right?
Right. We'll go through Keeneland every day through their closing day next Friday, and then they get started with that Churchill Downs meet next Saturday. And I love the fact that they'll enter the Derby 1 week out. It gives us a lot of time to prepare for our seminar and do the homework and be ready to go.
Yeah, and be ready to gamble on it as well. That's for sure. All right, John, we got a winner from you yesterday. Let's parlay it to another winner today.
Let's go to Keeneland, race number 7 today. In the 7th race, number 3, LJ's Emma, comes off a trip during the fall meet at Keeneland where he just got stopped in traffic, had nowhere to go, ended up running in the middle of the pack. You throw that race out. This is a horse that's very tactical. She ought to be in the middle of the pack early, but there isn't a ton of speed, so I don't think she'll be too far back. She likes this course. If she can work out a trip for a barn that is very, very good off the layoff, Eddie Canelli, very good with fresh horses here. 9-2 in the program. Number 3, LJ's Emma, I think is well met. Race number 7 at Keeneland.
And in the 7th race, you like the 3, LJ's Emma. Luis Saez aboard. He had a 3-bagger yesterday along with Jose Ortiz. Those two won 6 of the 8 races yesterday at Keeneland. And today, Luis is back aboard your horse, the 3, LJ's Emma, the 3 in the 7th race. John Lendo's pick for the race day listeners. And, of course, that is part of the late pick 4 suggested on his sheet as well. Thanks a lot, John. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Ralph. Good luck today.
All right. You got it, my man. Now we're going to go to Jerry Jackowitz, Stan and Vine. Jerry was just about ready to complete his thoughts about handicapping strategies on the show, and we just ran out of time. So without any further ado, we will have him continue that and then give us a couple of picks at Aqueduct at the end of the show. Jerry, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Yeah, so when the end of the show came, we were talking about horses on the power page that were rated very, you know, down the ladder, lower rated, who were getting a lot of money. And for me, this is one of the best things about the power page, because it's a really good indicator of inside money without having to chart, without having to go and chart exact the prices and how they're changing and so forth, which are more difficult today to do than they were in the old days. But the assume that a horse is getting a lot of money and is poorly rated is that I did a bad handicapping job is just, you know, it's egotistical on the part of the person doing that. The assumption should be is that I know how to make ratings. I've been doing it for 30 years pretty successfully. I have lots of people who rely on them. And they understand that when a horse doesn't have the form that they're supposed to have to get a better rating, but they're getting the money, there may be a workout or a change in ownership or something that's happened. And that the new people taking over might be big bettors. You know, maybe I'm rating a horse that's a Michael Dubb horse, for example, who's notoriously overbets his horses, although he's very successful. But I'm giving you the rating that the horse has earned on the track, and Michael's giving you the rating that he feels that the trainer's got him to. So it's really great information, not false information. And it's not bad handicapping at all. It's just the opposite. It's really excellent handicapping, but it requires you to know more about the game and requires you to kind of understand the kinds of things that each of you have to encounter and deal with when making a bet. So if I see, for example, I like a horse, I have a star horse, he's top rated, he's maybe 3-1, 5-2, and I'm interested in betting him. And then I see some horse from, you know, a stable that I think's got a lot of betting actions, all of a sudden bet way down that I don't have a good rating on, I might just kill the bet. I might just say, well, you know, this race, the lay of the land isn't really moving towards me. There's some unknown information here that I can't quantify. You know, other people might want to bet the hot horse. I don't like to do that because I don't like to bet underlays. But good underlays, you know, do pay money. So I suppose it's okay if you're very, very good at it. But for me, I would kill the bet or maybe take that that short-priced horse and include it in my exactas and maybe even promote it money-wise. If I like the overlay, if the horse is 7, 8, 10 to 1, I'm not going to not bet the horse. But then I'll just bring that hot horse, we'll call it, or that overbet horse. I'll bring that into the play in such a way that if it beats me, it's not going to hurt me.
All right. So then what I'm getting from your conversation or your pitch here is that if you have a horse that's rated high on your ratings, and another horse may be either getting better or not, that's when you come into play and evaluate where the money is coming from, so to speak. You got to know the owners, I guess, and the trainers who like to bet, like, for example, the Ropoli horses or something. Or if both if both of them converge together on one horse, then it's really a go for you, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily.
All right.
Okay. I'm more interested in getting people to understand there's horses that are rated at the top of the rating scale. They go down to the 12th horse. That's the reason I do 12 horses in the race is because there's inside money in the game. And insider money you should be using to understand what you're betting on, whether you should make the bet or not.
Uh-huh.
And when some of these bottom rated horses are getting lots of money, there's a caution sign being put up that should make you alter your opinion.
Okay. That's pretty self-explanatory. We got a minute and a half to do two picks. Go.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's start with my feature play was the ninth race today. Obrigado, the six horse, pops off the page at 10-1 to me. I think it should be about 9-2.
Wow.
For Linda Roy. I'm going to make a good win bet here on the six horse. That's going to be the start of the bet. I'm going to have some small exactas with the six, with the 7-9, and reverse 7-9 over the six. But I'm mostly interested in the win place bet here on number six, Obrigado.
All right. In the eighth and final race, you like the six, Obrigado, a nice juicy 10-1 on the morning line if we can get it. The sixth, and the only two link-ups you're going to do are the 7 and 9 in exactas, et cetera, the 6 over 7-9, and a little reverse 7-9 over the six, correct?
Right, correct. This, yeah, the main function of my money will be in win and place. Let's go to the seventh for my my backup play. Mooley from David Duggan looks pretty interesting from the outside with Carmusha. I like the seven quite a bit. Really good form cycle. Had a tough trip last time out. Let's play the 7 over the 3-4-5, reverse 3-4-5 over the 7. Maybe bet a little extra, 7-5-5-7.
Seventh race, the 7 is the key. Link-ups are 3-4-5 and reverse, $2 ROI on the 7. And so Jerry's given us a Scirocco late double there at Aqueduct, not even knowing it. So we're going to play the late double in the seventh race. We're going to say late double. 7-6, and that'll cover the 7 in the 7th race and the 6 in the 8th and final race for a little late double action. Don't forget, Power Pages are available right now at jerryjspowerpage.com. And don't forget, folks, there is a carryover in the late pick 5. It is not a jackpot, a regular late pick 5 at Gulfstream, exceeding $121,000. So we'll wrap up this almost Friday-Thursday show by telling you the next time we'll talk to you is it will actually be Friday, God willing, and the crick don't rise. In the meantime, one last thing to say, and Jerry is going to say it.
Have a great race day, everybody.